Shakina Pena from Your Healthy Choice Clinic here in Lansing. When we talk about the ordinance itself for the city of Lansing, what do you like about it? What don't you like about it?
Well, the ordinance, I do, you know, I appreciate the fact that the grandfathering and locations, they gave us a year. You know, they could have said, hey, get out of here. You have 30 days, move. So, you know, for that, we have to be, you know, a little grateful for, because a lot of us put a lot of time, energy, and money into it. So, you know, I believe they said that was Verge's ordinance that they gave us, you know, that we had a year to relocate. So we're going to try to amend that, hopefully, you know, here in the Greater Lansing Business Association that we started as well. There has been rumor talk of a class action lawsuit. Do we know what's going to happen with that just yet? Not really. It's talk. We're going to see what happens.
So right now, is your facility going to be one of the 48 that's allowed to operate here in Lansing?
We did apply for the permit when it was available online, which was like a last-minute hustle because that application was not available on the 1st. I believe it was available on the 3rd of July. And so as soon as we got it, it didn't have any, you know, instructions of when or deadlines for us to turn it in. We knew we had 10 days. We turned in every piece possible, and then they started adding pieces to the end of it, and we're up there running around. So they had the business owners hustling at the last minute getting that application in.
Do you think that was fair?
I don't think it was fair. It was, you know, a lot of people who are part of the Greater Lansing Business Association, our colleagues, I should say, they had no idea. They didn't receive one email, phone call, letter in the mail. And when I talked to Chris Swope on that, I said, hey, you know, we didn't receive an email. I've been to almost every city council meeting. What happened? And he said, oh, well, we'll look into it. And when he did, you know, we had Your Healthy Choice email versus my own personal. So, you know, in that regard. But we watched that website every single day, and we seen it there. And so that's how we knew our application had to be there.
Do you think this is something that the city plan to do to make it challenging for businesses like yours?
I hope not. I hope not. You know, and in reality, I don't think it was, because who's really going to enforce it? If those, you know, 31 dispensaries, there was 48 grandfathered in, but 31 of them were opened. And if only 19 applications per se were put in, who's going to enforce the shutdowns of those dispensaries? You know, I don't think that's going to happen.
Were you in support of the social environments where this is being done, the social clubs, if you will, where people can sit down, listen to music, and medicate together, however that's done?
You know, when it first passed and I started to see these compassion clubs open up, and, you know, there were smoke clubs and pot clubs and things like that, it started to be like a mockery and a little offensive to myself. We don't medicate at Your Healthy Choice, and we never really have. But when we started to get patients who never medicated, and they were on my schedule, and we do strand recommendations, and they had appointments with me. And when I looked at my schedule for the day and I was teaching someone how to roll a joint, I don't know how to roll a joint, you know? And I'm thinking, okay. And then we had a patient who tried medibles, but it took too long for her, you know, ingest in her system. So when she was on the schedule for, okay, I need a strand recommendation, now I need to learn how to use a vapor, I didn't know how to help her. And so just like when we have asthma treatments, patients that come in for nebulizer treatments, we have to educate them before we send them home. You know, if you have insulin, you have education on your insulin injection treatments before you're sent home. So we pulled the patient's chart since she was certified through our clinic. We documented everything. She had a driver, which was her husband. We had a signed release, you know, and things like that. We took her into our residential loft because I took her off of my commercial property because I didn't want to be liable for that. And we tried to pack the vapor. And it was something so innocently hilarious because she still didn't know how to inhale, and I didn't know how to teach her how to inhale. And so it was, you know, and then it was an indica, which is a slow release, so it's not something that she's going to feel rapidly, and she didn't actually think it kicked in. But I thought, well, you had two puffs, let's wait 20-30 minutes and see what happens. And sure enough, she felt relief from it. So for educational purposes, it was on draft 4 of the ordinance, and then at the very end, at midnight, voted off.
Of all the medical marijuana businesses that are in the mid-Michigan area, what's the percentage you think of those that are illegitimate?
In the mid-Michigan area, you know, I have traveled this whole state. I've done speeches for brain receptors and marijuana without smoking. I've seen so many businesses evolve into something beautiful. I think it's just their first education on it, you know, and now that there's a coalition for Michigan, that all these reputable businesses stand together, and it's called the MAC Group, you know, and there's all these amazing businesses, you know, and there's still so many more that are coming to surface. So I couldn't even tell you the number that is popping up.
You know what's interesting about this topic? I think when the law passed, it surprised a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think as opposed to looking at it as a medicine, people just thought it was just a legal way for people to get high. The perception of
yes.
people who are in this business, especially as a mom.
Right.
Tell me about that perception that you have to deal with and how you've dealt with it. And is it getting better?
It is. It's getting there. You know, I still struggle with custody. I'm in a custody battle with my daughter and with my ex-husband and my daughter. She'll be 12. She was 12 yesterday. So it is challenging. And the Medical Marijuana Act says that you cannot lose custody and so forth. So that's why it's important that these patients, where they go, that they know where they're going. They educate themselves on that, where they're going, what physician's doing the certification for them and the recommendation, that they truly have a condition. Because if they question the legitimacy of your card, it has to stand up in court. And, I mean, this is my ex-husband, and he knows that I was being diagnosed with MS when we got divorced years ago. And so when he's trying to challenge my card, I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So, you know, but he says it's embarrassing, it's this, it's that. And, you know, it's unfortunate that he has that perception still.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his religious beliefs and things like that, there's so much other stuff behind that, backing that. But neither here or there, you know, being a single parent, you know, you still have the children at home. You still have to be mom. And I still have to realize, okay, I have MS and I have a business that truly does help me and we help other people, but I have to be in this community as well. And so do my children. My son plays sports. I'm a sports mom. And I have to, you know, he's in high school, you know, and this is now he'll be starting his senior year. So he's like, mom, you know, everybody thinks, you know, I'm going to get him pot or get him this, that. And he jokes about it. But he's also educated a lot of people. So we have this open communication mm-hmm. and things like that. So.
I mean, I think about you going to a PTA meeting, you
yes.
know, and Johnny's mom is a firewoman and Susie's mom is a lawyer.
Right.
Oh, and Mrs. Pena owns a medical marijuana facility. How do you deal with that?
Well, this is funny. This is why I brought up my card right here. Because last year we had the Red Cross with the marijuana leaf on it and that little calendar. Well, we changed it because the card was, you know, the signage and everything else, it wasn't something appealing. If that card fell out of someone's pocket and it's an elderly patient that we're helping with their, you know, chronic pain, I didn't want them to feel like, oh, they had to hide their card because they had an appointment at Your Healthy Choice. So we changed it. Now it's the Tree of Life. You know, in alternative medicine. So it's something very humbling. So if that card falls out of someone's pocket or I'm giving my business card to someone else, it's more reputable. It's cleaner. It's changing.
Well, you could get someone who could say, I don't want my daughter hanging around,
yes.
you know, that kind of thing. Is that a challenge?
I actually haven't had that just yeah. yet, which is good. And I think because they know me, they knew me before,
mm-hmm.
and they know that I'm not, you know, a pothead. And people look at me and they're like, you don't look like a smoker. You don't look like, you know, this and that. And I'm involved in everything, you know, all my kids' activities and things like that. So I haven't got that. But when they sneak up to me, they said, is it true you use marijuana or you cook marijuana? Or I read you in the article and things like that. And I'm like, yes, that's someone I work with. So
talk about Your Healthy Choice Clinic. How many employees do you have? How do you go about hiring them and training them? And how do you do what you do there?
Well, number one, they have to be a patient. Your Healthy Choice has 8 employees now, and they're full-time employees, all patients, all legal patients of the medical marijuana program. Nobody has a drug felony. No one has a parking ticket either for the city of Lansing. And the reason why is because with our permit, no one could owe a dime to the city of Lansing. So, you know, we have this open communication. Everyone grows their caregivers, so they all legally can have 15 ounces on them. Do we have that volume at Your Healthy Choice? No. We have 15, you know, there's like maybe 15 different strands there for patients to choose from and the weights of the medibles. But we have them broken down to the net weight of that brownie per se, but then the active ingredient in it. Say, for instance, if that guy got pulled over, the patient got pulled over and he's getting challenged saying that brownie's 3.5 ounces when in reality it's only, you know, 0.001 of a gram.
Mm-hmm.
So we watch their weights. Even though a patient can have 2.5 ounces, we don't provide them with that. We don't assist them with that. We are there to assist them just to get them through. So we're not, you know, going to give you 2 ounces. I don't think we've actually given assisted a patient more than an ounce, you know, at a time. We do money back guarantee on everything. So if you find a coffee didn't work for your ailment, you bring it back. We try it with something else or give me your money back. So that's kind of how we're there.
Do physicians know what strain to prescribe?
With physicians, they are so focused on the prescription writing, and they federally can't look into it either because they risk that prescription writing license. So, you know, with the three different types of the indica, sativa, and hybrid, there's really no prescription that you can write for it. It's recommendations on strands. That's what we do. And it's a patient's trial and error. They have to log it down just like we do on the medical record chart, you know, what the patient tried, what they failed on. We had this elderly gentleman come in with his wife, and he had severe chronic back pain and shingles. And he was against marijuana. He had all these books and literatures and everything. He said, "This is my last resort, woman." And when he sat down with me, I thought, okay, this man was almost 70 years old. And he said, "I need you to help me because I've been reading this medicine goes back to Bible days and this, that." And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to educate me on something today. Mm-hmm. So it took us, we have a lot of allotting system of when our medicine comes in, what it comes in as, where it goes down to the last gram. When it's shake, it goes into butter. What butter it's made, the strand name follows it all the way through.
It sounds like to me that physicians may not know enough about this to prescribe it.
Absolutely. There needs to be more education on it. But again, with it being federally legal, it challenges and ties the doctor's hands. So the THC Foundation and ASA, Americans for Safe Access, has provided all these CME hours, continuing educations for nurses and doctors, you know, to go out and do some education on these cannabinoids.
So depending on what your ailment is, smoke may be better, food may be better, liquid may be better, oil may be better.
Absolutely. And then also what other conditions you have. Say, for instance, you have hypertension that we were talking about earlier. With that hypertension, if you're on medication or beta blockers for that heart, we don't really want you to have a sativa. I'm not saying it's dangerous, but a sativa is going to increase that cerebral heart rate and that heart activity. We don't want you to overexert yourself when we want you to relax, calm down. So you need an indica, which is a slow release, all body, and it slows that heart rate down.
Business is good, and you're worn out because you've been educating a lot of people.
I am dehydrated. I am worn out, and you know, I am a patient too. So we had a rally last year, and it was raining all day long. I was speaking at the Capitol, and it was so cold that my body started to lock up. And we rallied from Your Healthy Choice down to the Capitol, and walking back, my body started to have spasms, and I just, you know, started crying. And my staff was kind of like, "Come on, Shekina, you can go, you can go." And then when we got back to the loft, well, we have the commercial property downstairs, but I used to live upstairs in the loft, so that's still my residential area now. That's my personal office. I shouldn't say that because everybody's going to run there now. So that's between you and me, Tony. But I put my cannabis milk inside my macaroni and cheese and warmed it up, and then I started to eat, and like, of course, an hour later, I started to feel a little looser and the spasm stopped. But I'm a patient, and so the wearing and tearing wears on me and inflates that MS.
All right, I've got about a minute left. What do you want to tell folks who are against this, who think that they don't want their homes, their families, their businesses, that they don't want to be around? What would you tell them?
To definitely educate them, you know, on it. I know there's a lot of people giving misrepresentation. There's been a lot of misrepresentation of marijuana forever, but it is a hemp plant. It has truly benefits from it if, you know, we can just educate everyone and do things reputably. You know, the voters that are out there and patients and caregivers in Lansing, there's about 4,000 of them. We're trying to get them together to the polls for the preliminaries. So let them know that if you want to keep having this access that's here, you got to vote for it to stay here because we're at risk of it leaving.
And Shekina Pena is the owner of Your Healthy Choice Clinic in Lansing. She's spent the last half hour or so with us. Thanks so much, Shekina.
Thank you.